We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft. But Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Welcome to Inside Mizzou Athletics, presented by Shelter Insurance. Find an agent for your auto, home, and life at shelterinsurance.com.
Alongside me, as always, Bo Bayman. And today we've got a special guest in studio, Brock Mahler, who we're going to play a little intro music for today.
We're getting fancy.
Yeah.
We are getting fancy on the podcast. We've come a long way.
You know, I'm not the techiest guy, but I know how to look up a YouTube song and put it by the mic.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
So, Brock Mahler, as you guys can see, has this luxurious cowboy hat on because he was last week's champion of the Cowboy Challenge down in Stillwater, Oklahoma. So, you had a good weekend down there, Brock.
Yeah. It was a great weekend of wrestling. I didn't know I was getting the hat, you know, until like almost stepping on the mat, and I was like, heck yeah, I've got to win this match now.
So before we go into that, So how many times have you wrestled Boo Llewellyn before? Just the once?
Yeah. So
just one time?
Second time.
Okay, so you wrestled him 2 years ago, last year in the duel, right?
Yep.
So you won against him in that match, and it was a similar match. He took you down in that match, too, and you mm-hmm. came back and had to beat him. So like Brock said, he didn't know he was getting this hat. Nobody knew about the hats, all right, leading up to the finals. Yeah. I think it was until after Dak's match, and while Dak and Certain were wrestling in the finals at 125, I thought it was kind of weird that Brock wasn't warming up yet, but I wasn't going to say anything to him, obviously. And he was sitting on the bleachers, and Dak ended up beating Noah in the finals, and Dak walks off the mat, and they give Dak his cowboy hat, and you just see Brock just turn around and just smile, and I was like, oh, God, this guy's in trouble now. There is no way he's gonna beat Brock. That was... Yeah, I knew he had the bag then.
He told us it's a wearing hat, so he wanted it.
Yeah, it came with a patch that went on it that said, you know, Cowboy Challenge Champion, 149 pounds, but yeah, Brock said he wasn't putting it on there. It was a wearing out hat.
Yeah, it wouldn't look right with a little patch on there.
I was just hoping when we saw the hats, they weren't going to have like an OSU stitched in them somehow.
Yeah, then I couldn't wear it. I couldn't wear it then.
That is pretty unique, though. I like that. Yeah. I mean... what the heck? It probably had to be good to be back in a tournament setting.
Yes.
I mean, just because you've been doing duels the whole time. Mm-hmm. So to wrestle in a tournament setting, was that pretty cool finally?
Yeah, I mean, throughout the season, it's just been, you know, a duel and you weigh in and then you wrestle within an hour. So having like a tournament style, you got to kind of be prepared throughout the day. So that was good to kind of get that before conference and nationals.
That's what I was going to say. It's all tournament style now from mm-hmm. here on out. Yeah. How did you think you wrestled this past weekend?
Good. I can always wrestle better. I think I've kind of set myself up to do better in conference and nationals. So I think I did all right. Always do better, though.
Yeah. We should mention he's ranked number 3 in the country. By the way, he's the MAC Wrestler of the Week as well. when you look at film, are you really breaking down intricacies at this point to say, okay, I got to do this a little bit better, and so when you get into the next match, you say, I can use this?
I don't necessarily watch film like that from that day. I just, luckily, I have great coaches who can see if I'm not moving my feet or not moving my hands, and they'll kind of remind me, oh, you need to move your feet, you need to move your hands, and that really helps. So
that's cool.
Yeah.
Overall, it was a pretty good weekend. I mean, Noah Certain, Dak Punky, you mentioned them. At 125, they get to the finals against one another. I mean, that's a great way to start.
Yeah, and you know, we've said it all year. We have so much depth on the team at every weight. This is really one of the most loaded teams Mizzou has ever had. But still, even saying that, going into this tournament, we left nine, you know, starters at home. There was a lot of question marks. I mean, there was some tough teams down there. Oklahoma State, Wyoming, who's got a lot of guys in the rankings. West Virginia, who's got a lot of guys in the rankings. I mean, it was a tough tournament. Each one of those teams got to bring a couple guys at each weight. So I myself was uncertain how we were going to do overall. And, man, our guys showed up to scrap. I mean, it was really impressive. Like you said, 125 pounds. Noah Certain drew the Oklahoma State starter at 125 pounds first round. And I mean, he took him out. He won by a score of 9-6, but he really dominated that match. I think at one point he was up like 6-0 and kind of had a little lapse there. We stopped wrestling for a little bit, but was really dominant that whole match. And that Mastro Giovanni kid, he's really tough. And then Dak Punky was able to come up the other side of the bracket, and those two ended up wrestling in the finals.
And they wrestle in the finals and have to go to sudden victory. I mean, that, it's kind of like they're back up in the room up here, I'm sure.
Yeah, it's kind of one of those things, and Brock will tell you too. When you wrestle your teammate, it's tough because they've wrestled thousands of times. Yep. You know, it's one guy always knows what the other guy's going to do, and vice versa. It's always a tough matchup when you have that. But it's always good to see, you know, your two guys, and they're in the finals. They're the best two in the bracket.
And let's give Dak some credit. We haven't talked about him much, and here he comes, and he wins the bracket. I mean, that again, you mentioned the depth. That's right, but here's a guy who didn't put his head down, just continued to learn and get better, and now he's got a cowboy hat, for crying out loud.
Oh, yeah, I got the hat. Then up at 133, we had Cam Valdivia and Trey Crawford up there. Trey really had a great weekend. You know, Cam is traditionally a 125-pounder. You know, we kind of bumped him up for this, so I think he was a little bit undersized. You know, and he wrestled two super tough dudes in Dayton Fix and Reese Whitcraft.
Yeah.
And he came out on the short end of the stick there. But Trey, you know, really had a great weekend. He wrestled Whitcraft first round. He ended up pinning him. Whitcraft, who has started the entire year at 133. And then Dayton Fix, obviously coming off his suspension, is now the starter and number one in the country, I believe, at that weight. But, yeah, Trey had some great wins out there and finished up in third place.
And his only loss was to the kid from West Virginia, right?
Yeah, he lost that. That Sullivan kid's pretty tough. I think he actually also had an exhibition match against Fix right off the bat, which I think we ended up getting pinned by Fix, but Fix pinned everybody, to be fair.
I was going to say, there's no shame in that. The other guy who was impressive was Josh Edmond at 141. Real impressive.
Yeah, he continues to impress. I mean, Brock will tell you from wrestling in the room, he's got a really unique feel. He's got a lot of offensive weapons, and he just continues to show that. The Zolman kid from Wyoming, who he wrestled in the opening round, is pretty dang tough kid. Mm-hmm. I think he's nationally ranked. And then the Dusty Hone kid, who we were beating in the finals 2-1, I believe, and ended up injury defaulting against us. Hone's ranked 12th in the country. So
was that a knee, or was it a head, or what was it?
It was a really weird.
It was a knee.
It looked like it was a knee, but it was a really weird transition where I think we were in on a single, and Hone's back leg, he like stepped back, and at first glance it almost looked like he maybe just rolled his ankle, but yeah, like Brock said, they were checking out his knee and just ended up calling it. So not really sure what happened.
It's one of those things where probably in the conference tournament, and for sure in nationals, he wrestles on, right?
Probably.
Yeah.
Probably. But yeah, they got the Big 12 tournament coming up in a couple weeks, so I'm sure that was a factor in that decision.
Yeah, no doubt. Also at 141, Ethan Turner, he lost by fall, but then won by fall as well. So he lost in the quarters, but then got an extra match and pinned the Caleb Ray from West Virginia. So that's a good way to end the weekend.
Yeah, always nice to bounce back like that.
All right, let's go through these matches at 149. Tell me about your win over Warren Carr, 6-2, over the gentleman from Wyoming. And one good thing I'm sure that you're happy with is, and I know you want more, but yeah. 6 points, pretty decent.
It's not the best, but I think in that match, I think my pressure was there. I wasn't releasing and getting to the legs as much. He was getting to my legs a lot, but I was scoring, capitalizing on that. I was, you know, finishing, you know, on the edge of the mat, that sort of stuff. So that was good. I felt as if my pressure was good. Everything was there. And I got to figure out, how to score when guys are just going to, you know, stay on the edge of the mat and not really do a whole lot. So, I mean, it's up to me. So,
Brock, when we do your matches, one thing that we notice too is even if somebody gets a shot in on you, you're still so good at the defense and turning it on them.
Yeah.
Is that something you've always been good at, or did you learn that, or where'd that come from?
I've always been all right. I mean, when guys get to my legs, I feel like I've really gotten better and better, you know, being up in the room and just scrambling wise, I think I always in high school was really, really good at scrambling. I still am. But, you know, in college, I've gotten to a point where I'm going to make sure, you know, maybe I don't get to that scrambling point. I'm just going to shut them down and just close them out. So,
semifinal, you won by major decision 16-4 over Cadel from OSU. You got to wrestle two OSU dudes. Yeah. That's pretty good.
Yeah, I was happy about that. That match, I think I got a couple turns in there, so I was happy with that. And I just kept the pressure on them, kept my shots going. So,
when you get the turns, that's where you can make your money, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. If you can get a turn or two, that really changes the match. That really makes them have to shoot on you or, you know, or they just shut down and those takedowns come.
Yeah. So then we talked about the final a little bit, but you win against Boo Llewellyn again, 7-5. Again, a lot of points scored in that match.
Yeah.
And that was it. Was in sudden victory, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was. He ended up slapping a cradle on him there in overtime and getting some back points. So
yeah.
That was awesome. Let's back up a little bit to the semis match there. You're wrestling Cadel. Coach Bradley was in the stands, and he kept yelling something about a bear rug to you. How was that motivating you? Can you speak to that a little bit?
So I guess Maple shot this brown bear. I don't know. I don't know where he was, but he shot this bear, and he finally, whoever was making it for him, got it to him after, I guess, 2 years.
Got it delivered to the hotel. Got it
delivered to the hotel. And Dom is all about making bets when it's not, you know, anything at his expense. It's always between me and Maple. And Dom's always in the corner just making bets between us. You know, he's got nothing to lose, but it's always Maple that's got to lose something. So,
rug was on the line?
Yeah, well, it's not only that, but, you know, it's 0 degrees outside. You know, that could keep me alive.
It was less than that. It was like -18 yes. on the way home.
Yes, I was thinking, it's like, if our bus breaks down, I'm going to have a bear rug. I'm going to survive. No one else might not. So,
good thinking.
Yeah.
It was funny. It was really funny. Every time Coach Bradley would say, bear rug up in the stands, Coach Maple would be in the corner and he'd be smiling. So it was good fun. But, yeah, that match against Boo Llewellyn in the finals, you know, you guys are 3-4 in the country. You're 3. He's 4.
Mm-hmm.
In my opinion, you know, depending on how the seeds shake out at Nationals, I think that might have been a preview of the National Finals, honestly. I think mm-hmm. you guys are two best guys in the weight. So it's fun watching you scrap like that. I told you after your match, I think that was the best I've seen you wrestle ever.
Yeah.
So just, man, fun to watch for sure.
And just to show kind of how tough he is, Precious Essien also there at the weight, and he got Boo pinned him, right?
Yeah, he did. Yeah, first round. Kind of caught Precious out of position. Precious was in on a couple shots, actually, before that, and he kind of ended up getting caught a little bit and getting pinned. But ended up coming back, and Tech Fawn, an Oklahoma State kid, so that's always good. We like beating those Cowboys whenever we can.
Yeah, no question about that.
Yeah.
And how was the crowd, and how was everything going on with it? Was it what you thought it was going to be?
You know, they had a pretty good crowd there, and despite the weather, we had a pretty good contingency of Mizzou fans there. So the crowd's always pretty good at Gallagher-Iba. It was definitely, they were less aggressive. The crowd, when we go down there for duels, you know, they're pretty notorious for, you know, chirping at wrestlers individually. But being a tournament, you know, aspect, it was definitely less of that, but just, you know, probably the most crowd noise we've seen this year.
Wow, that's
so
good.
That was definitely good, you know, even though these next two tournaments, you know, the MAC, there's going to be no fans, and
yeah,
the national tournament, you know, probably not going to be very many fans, so maybe the most fans we're going to get to see all year.
Yeah, let's skip ahead to 174 with Sean Harmon. Won in the quarterfinals, and then lost a tough 6-3 decision in the semifinals, but came back to take third place by winning by major. That's a pretty good 2-1 weekend for him.
Yeah, that Hastings kid from Wyoming is tough. Sean lost to him in the duel as well, and I believe Hastings ended up winning the tournament, beating Dustin Plott from Oklahoma State in the finals. So Hastings is in the top 10, you know, ranked. So, and Sean wrestled him really tough. I mean, he was all over him. He was in on a lot of shots and, you know, was threatening to win the match. So we're definitely closing the gap there. It was a lot tougher than a lot closer contested bout anyway than it was in the duel. So Sean's getting a lot better, and then bounced back and, man, looked really good for third place against that West Virginia kid. Looked really good there.
Because they didn't have to travel, did Oklahoma State have most of their starters going?
Yeah, I think they had all their starters going. Yeah. For sure. Anyway, yeah. I didn't notice any out.
They didn't really have to worry about it. I mean, and when you talk about why we left 9 starters at home, it's because the next two are really important, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, it's different for us for them, too. The MAC moved our conference tournament up a weekend, and so we weren't going to have the time if somebody got contact traced. You know, they were basically going to get left home from the conference tournament, where Oklahoma State, Wyoming, West Virginia, they're still wrestling that first weekend in March, so
okay. They
could have been contact traced and still had time to, you know, get back and wrestle in their tournament, so they didn't really have to look at it in the aspect that we did there.
And we should tell people the reason that they sent Brock is you've already had it, right?
Yeah, I've already had it. Yeah, I'm within my 90 days, so lucky but not lucky, I guess.
How bad did you have it? Not bad? No. You're one of the lucky ones?
Yeah. No symptoms. I mean, that's been most anyone on our team who's really, like, tested positive haven't really had any symptoms.
That's
so
good.
Yeah.
That's good. And, again, in his 90 days allows him now to do a lot that some others have to be careful of, right?
Yeah, for sure. Definitely.
I mean, you know the rules better than me. You
can take a few more risks, but still very, very calculated. We're pretty cautious still.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's see. Who else? Jake Roshka. Decent weekend.
He actually had quite a few matches. I think he ended up having 2 extra matches, so I think there's one more that's not shown on here, but got a lot of matches in. I think he went 2-2 overall.
Scored points.
Yeah, maybe he went 3-1 overall. Can't remember. But, yeah, he scored a lot of points. You know, and he looked good. You know, like we said in one of the first podcasts when he got to wrestle in the freestyle tournament out in Omaha, you know, it's good to see Jacob back on the mat being able to compete. He was out for so long and
had
such an uphill battle to come back from his, you know, back surgeries. And it's just seeing him, you know, it's good seeing him out on the mat wrestling, getting to compete. And he's having fun out there. And it was good for him to be able to travel with the team. And he had a lot of fun, I know.
How about Dwayne Villopando? Lost in the semifinals.
Man, Dwayne looked really good. He's still a puppy. You know, he's still a freshman. He's got a lot to learn. Up a weight. You know, he's been wrestling 174 all year, and we bumped him up to 184 because we got 2 spots per weight, and we only had 1 84-pounder, and we already had 2 174. So we bumped him up, and he wrestled a really close match with that Samuelson kid who ended up winning the tournament and upsetting Oklahoma State's Dakota Gear in the finals. So Samuelson, I'm pretty sure, is ranked in the top 10 now after that performance, and Dwayne had him on the ropes. We had opportunities to win there. He's got to do a little bit better job of finishing his shots, but he definitely showed that he has what it takes to compete at a high level, at, you know, regardless of the weight.
So overall, a pretty decent weekend. Let's switch focus, and Brock, let's ask you, what is your focus now as you head into the MAC? I asked Matt a little bit earlier. You guys leave middle of next week.
Yeah.
First plane ride.
Yeah.
I guess it's to the hotel and to the venue and back to the hotel. I mean, there's nothing else to do, right? It's just It's all wrestling now,
it's
right?
It's all business. Yeah, we're there to wrestle and get those matches in and do the best we can. So
what are you doing these days? You just up in the room training, or what are you doing?
I make sure and keep my diet, you know, where it needs to be. Like, so every day, just leading up to, you know, weigh-ins, I'll try and eat the same. Nothing crazy. Make sure I'm getting enough water, that sort of stuff. And then on the mat, not doing anything, you know, crazy. I've put in the work and just tighten up on a few little things technique-wise.
Talk to the coaches and go over things with them as well?
Yeah, I think right now it's more mental preparation than anything. I mean, my body's, you know, great. It's perfect. There's nothing going on. I'm ready to go. So I think it's more make sure you're mentally there and ready for those matches and getting it done.
And Matt, is that kind of the same for everybody?
Yeah, you know, it's just all about this point in the year, you know, just getting your horses to the race, you know, keeping everybody healthy, getting everybody there, you know, no injuries, no sicknesses, get them on the mat and let them go. All the prep work's been done, you know, it's just about, you know, like Brock said, having your diet under control, having your weight down, and let's show up, weigh in, you know, and whoop some butt. We're ready. We're ready to scrap this weekend or this next weekend.
And so the schedule is this weekend's off, then Mac, then a weekend off. And then Nationals, right?
So I believe we'll have 3 weeks until Nationals.
Yeah, well, like
is that
two,
right?
2 weeks or something like that.
Yeah, we're going to compete the 26th and 7th at the MAC tournament, and then the NCAA tournament is the 18th, 19th, and 20th of March.
So you will have a lot of time between.
Yeah, and that's why the MAC decided to move the tournament up, is in case, you know, anybody got contact traced, they would still be able to go to the national tournament. And that's why they did that.
That's smart. I mean, it probably stinks because you want to wrestle more, but at the same time, you can use 2 to 3 weeks to get ready, right?
Oh, yeah, I'm very happy that they made that decision because there's, you know, those other conferences, like they're, what, 11 days out? And if they get contact traced, they got to wait a whole week till they can get tested, and that really just that pushes them out of that tournament, the national tournament.
So. How's the testing been?
I haven't since December, but I mean it's been going good. I think here everyone's been.
Is it a pain though for those of us that don't have to get tested every day? Is it a pain for most guys?
I mean the rapid test isn't too bad, but I mean it's, I don't know, it's fine I guess.
How is it that Matt Manley has stayed clean?
I don't know, his immune system.
I live a clean lifestyle. La Flama Blanca, you know, if you watch Eastbound and Down, you know, the white flame, I'm pure. You can't get me. I don't know. On a real note, I think it's something to do with, I don't know, I've been told and read some stuff on, I think it might be my blood type. I'm A positive, and I think something to do with A positive people have a harder time contracting it. That may be false. I read that somewhere, but yeah. I don't know.
You read it on the internet.
Yeah.
There's so many things.
Might have been Wikipedia. I don't know.
But, I love it.
But yeah, MAC tournament, NCAA tournament, that's what we got left. MAC tournament's going to be streamed on ESPN+, so make sure you tune in there if you got an account. If not, we will be streaming it again, commentary with myself on Rockfin. So I know people like doing that, and we try to bring in some wrestlers throughout the tournament and kind of do some interviews and stuff, so that's fun. So we'll be doing that as well for all the rounds, but I believe every round should be on ESPN+.
I think that's right.
So one last thing before we sign off. This was one of those trips. I'm going to put it up there, top three.
Whoa.
Worst travel trips of
really?
All time.
Really?
Yeah.
We got some stories, huh?
It was pretty interesting. Yeah. So, looking at the weather, you know, this is where my job comes in. It's stressful. These guys, they don't ever hear about this side of it. We're looking at the weather, you know, rolling up to the week, and it's like, oh, man, it's going to be bad going down there and bad coming back. And then the closer we got, we're like, okay. We're going to make it down there, but coming back, it might be interesting.
Yeah.
So we woke up on Sunday morning down there, and it was snowing, as expected. And then throughout the day, you know, I'm running back and forth to the locker room, getting food set up for the guys, and I keep looking out the window, and, man, every time I walk past, it's snowing harder and harder. And the finals started at 4, and I went out to get the food at 4, and it was a whiteout. You couldn't see 50 yards. I was like, oh, this is not looking good. So the bus rolls up, and we're like, okay, we're going to see how far we can make it, and then we might have to get hotel rooms, you know. We'll go from there. So if you're familiar with Oklahoma, we drove from Stillwater to Tulsa on Highway 51. What do you think, 25, 30 miles an hour?
30 miles an hour.
It took us 2 or 3 hours to get to Tulsa. The roads were completely unplowed all the way to Tulsa. You know, you couldn't even tell it was a road, really.
Yeah.
We get to Tulsa. We're like, okay, we're going to – from Tulsa to up to Joplin, up through Missouri, it was, you know, basically one lane on 44. And we get to Joplin. We're like, okay, we got to stop anyway because we were going to run out of time for our driver to drive.
Okay. You know,
they only let them drive so many hours. So we get to Joplin. I got some hotel rooms lined up, and our bus driver drops us off. And we didn't figure this out until the next morning, but he dropped us off and went to park the bus, and – the bus hit a patch of ice and slid and, like, knocked out a window on the bus.
Oh, wow.
And so a whole window is shattered the next day coming back home. So then we wake up the next morning. We're going to leave at 7 o'clock in the morning. And
yeah.
Everybody gets up 5:30, 6 o'clock in the hotel, and no power.
Ugh.
No power in the hotel, which everybody on the team will tell you, it was like waking up in a horror movie.
It was scary.
You talk about, like, I had to make a tactical run out of the hotel room. I'm, like, holding on the wall like this. It was spooky.
Yeah.
I was the first one down to the lobby, and I got my phone light out, and there's people down there, but you don't know who it is. It's pitch black,
yeah.
And I'm trying to figure out, you know, trying to shine my light on these people to see who they are, but without being rude, you know. You don't want to blind them. And, you know, can everybody say their name, please? You know, it's it was crazy, but yeah, it was a fun experience for everybody. Definitely a memorable one.
Yeah.
And then we got on the bus, and like I said, that was the morning. It was with wind chill, I think negative 30 degrees. So everybody kept their parkas on the entire way home, yeah. Let's say that.
Or bear rugs.
Bear rugs.
I think the bear rugs stayed up in the cupboard the whole time.
Maple,
it didn't get brought out.
I was going to have to fight Maple to get that bear rug.
But yeah, we made it home about 12 hours after expected, but definitely a fun, interesting trip. One the guys will remember for sure.
Yeah, it was funny because I knew you guys would get down there, but exactly what you said, it was like the longer it went, I was like, golly, are they going to get back?
Yeah.
Did you think about staying down there?
Yeah, we were always just like under the mindset of let's see how far we can make it. And if we make it, you know, 10 miles down the road, we'll make it 10 miles and
yeah.
We'll get another hotel or turn around and go back. You know, we have options at that point, but you know, we ended up making it halfway back and getting hotel rooms, but it's fun in the moment. It's, you know, it's a little bit of a struggle, but that's the things you look back on and you're done. You're like, man, remember that trip?
Yeah,
and you're talking
right.
to your buddies at reunions and stuff. It's, those are the times you remember as an athlete for sure.
I'm sure Coach Smith was just doing just fine. I know how he likes to travel.
Mm-hmm. He was, you know, that night driving to Joplin, he was definitely up by the driver. He was clutching the seat a little bit. He was a little on edge, but
white
he should
knuckle.
Be. It was, yeah, it was a little nerve-wracking,
that's,
for sure.
Yeah, I believe it.
We made it.
You did.
Two more trips to go.
There
one
you
long
go.
One and one short one. So.
There you go. Hey, congrats on being the MAC Wrestler of the
yep,
week. Congrats
thank you.
On the cowboy hat
yep.
and the title, and good luck the next two tournaments.
Yep.
Thank got anything you. You want to say to close us out here? Any shout-outs?
I'm good, I think. I don't know.
All right, well, until next time, Brock Mahler. No one out there has earned a shout-out from Brock Mahler, so you all need to do better. Until next time, stay ready. This is Tiger Style.
This has been Inside Mizzou Athletics on the Tiger Network, brought to you by Shelter Insurance. Find an agent for your auto, home, and life at shelterinsurance.com. The preceding has been a Learfield IMG College presentation.